We are excited that you could join us today on our media platform. In this video, Pastor Tim will continue with our series, Faith Over Fear, as we look at 8 steps that will help us bring down giants that arise in our daily lives. Now, let's go listen to Pastor Tim.
I don't care who you are, unless you're a prophet or unless you're someone who sees the future. I don't think anyone, when January 1st of 2020 rolled around, would ever have dreamed that we would face the things that we're facing today in 2020. As I looked at 2020 and as I see it, as it's becoming now, we're getting into the final stages of 2020. And as I look back over 2020 and the prophecies that's been brought forth and the things that we've learned and the things that we've had to go through in 2020, I truly believe that God has given this to us as a year of reset. Somebody said, well, why don't you use the word restart? Well, I got news for you. Sometimes God, when he starts something and we're not able to finish it, he doesn't want to restart it. He just wants to reset it. And I believe he's resetting us. I believe he's getting us in a place to where we need to get into a place where we need to be. There are people facing things that they've never faced before. And there are people who have had things come in 2020 that they've never seen before in their entire lives. As we look across our country and look across our world, not just with COVID-19, but with the things that we face today, with the racial unsettledness that's going on in our country today, and the election, on the brink of the election, and how things have just gotten to the place to where some of us are scratching our heads and say, I don't believe things can get any worse, amen, as we look at 2020. But I want to say this to you. Don't ever forget that in the times like this, God has all kinds of time that we can have opportunity to change our lives for the better, amen. 2020 is one of those years that can make us better, amen. And I believe by the resetting of our lives that God is doing something better in our lives. And I believe that our lives can get better. Today, I want to share with you a message that is part of the series that I've been doing called Faith Over Fear. You know, Satan came into 2020 and he knew that something good was on the way. I truly believe, and I've preached this and I've talked about this. I grew up in church. I don't know anything but church. I can't remember a time in my life, even as a small child, of not being in church. I can't remember, and I do remember those times, all of those times where I would, as a kid, would just be in church from the moment I got up on Sunday morning till the time I went to sleep on Sunday evening. I would sleep in the pews because church was everything that we did. And as I look across the country today and I see that Satan has put out such a great attack on the church today, and the church is reeling and the church is rolling right now, not knowing what direction to go. And some churches are still in a place to where they don't even know when they're going to open up or when they're going to be able to do what they need to do. So as I look at what's happening in our world today, it is important for us to focus on the fact that we need to make sure we keep our faith in God, because God is in control, and we have to understand, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems to be out there in the world we're living in today, how many know that we serve a risen Savior who's seated at the right hand of the Father, and inside of us, he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority that's been given to us, that we can stand in faith no matter what it looks like and know that God is still in control, and God will have this thing come out the way that it needs to come out. We win this thing in the end. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. We win. Yes, it may seem like defeat, and it may look like defeat today, but we win this thing. I want to share with you a message that God has laid on my heart just for us today. The title to this message is Faith Steps That Brings Down Giants. Faith Steps That Brings Down Giants. I don't know about you today, but no matter who you are, a giant can rise up in our lives immediately, suddenly, without us even knowing that it's coming. A giant can be put right in front of us in a moment's time, and we may not even realize how it happened or how he got there, but we're facing a giant. No matter who you are today, we have to understand this. No matter how close to God you get, no matter where you stand in this life, you may end up facing a giant before this day is even over with. Amen. That's how life goes. I wish as a pastor I could stand here today and tell you that you can get into a place to where you never have to face another battle. But I have news for you today. That's not scriptural, because battles are important for us to face. Giants are important for us to face. Mountains are important for us to face in our lives, because they do for us what needs to be done, and God knows exactly what giant can be allowed in your life. And I say that because I want you to understand this. God will not put anything in front of you that you are not prepared to handle. You may not think you are, but he will not put something in front of you that you are not prepared to handle and ready to go into battle and win against your giant. Amen. There is a God in heaven who decides that. And we know that if the giant's there, it's there for a purpose. When a giant presents himself to us, we have to be careful and not focus on the physical. It's so important not to focus in the first few moments. I wrote this down because it's important. Do not go with first impressions. When you see your giant and when it raises up against you and you're looking at it and you're standing there, and it may seem like the giant is just so large and so huge and you don't even know, there's no way possible that I'm going to get through this. Be careful not to begin to size it up in the physical, because what you will end up doing is you will take that 6-foot giant and you will turn that 6-foot giant into a 10-foot giant. And then now you're in a place to where you yourself have built this giant even bigger than it was when it came into your life. We have to understand that no matter how big the giant is, we still have the power to size it up. Let me tell you something. What I mean by this is, no matter what comes into our lives, and no matter how it comes into our lives, and no matter how big or small it may seem, we have a choice on how we handle the giant. That will never be taken away from you. You will always have a choice on how you handle the situation that comes to you. And I want you to understand this, and Ephesians chapter 6, 12 through 13 reminds us that we're not facing against physical things. Folks, we're not up against a giant that is physical in our lives. It may look physical. It may be something in your physical body. It may be something physical in your finances. It may be something physical in your relationship with your husband or your wife. It may look and seem and smell and taste everything like it's physical, but please understand, you are not facing a physical battle. You are facing a spiritual battle. Satan does not want you to see it in the spiritual. He wants you to stay focused in the physical. Because guess what? Physical means limitations. Oh, grab a hold of this revelation. When you stay in the physical, you will have every kind of limitation there is. But when you get out of the physical and you look at your giant in the spiritual, you have no boundaries. There are no limits to God in the spiritual. So now you have a whole different story. Instead of dealing with all these limitations of the physical body and the physical mind and the physical abilities, now you're in the spirit world where you're saying to your giant, guess what? There is no limits to my God. He has everything, and I know that I can get through this situation. So please understand, you do have the ability to choose whether you face your battle in the physical or whether you see it in the spiritual like it really is. The biggest battle sometimes that we face is knowing how to approach it. How do I approach this? This thing is here and it's presented itself. It's a giant, and I'm going to try my best to go into a spiritual and do everything that I can. But how do I approach this? What is my strategy? See, I tell people this all the time. You will not win your battle if you do not have a strategy. Listen to me. You may say, oh, well, I'll just trust God and hopefully God will come along and take care of it. And I'm not saying that sometimes God doesn't do that. But I'm saying this to you, that if you want to win the battle that you're facing today, if you want to get rid of that giant that's in front of you today, if you want that mountain moved that's in front of you today, I need you to understand that this is the strategy of God. Everything that you would ever need to face your giant is right here. There's a strategy there just for you and I. And if we will follow the word of God, there is a strategy that will get us through every giant that we face and will take down every giant that we face. Give God a hand clap of praise. There is a strategy. Let me tell you something. You don't think the devil has a strategy? You don't think that the devil hasn't already pre-thought your thinking? Do you realize the devil cannot read your mind, but what the devil can do is he knows who you are and he knows how you act. He knows what you do. He watches how you perform in life and he knows the things to put into your brain. It's called suggestive thinking. The devil knows that I'm not good at this and I don't do well in this area. So the devil says, okay, he's not good at this. So what I'm going to begin to do is plant some seed inside of his mind in that area that he doesn't do very well. And he'll start dwelling on that and I'll start to win the battle of his mind also. We have to understand that there is a strategy and we have to have a strategy. The strategy is in the Word of God. How many know God never leaves us without the strategy? Amen. You may say, well, I don't have one right now. Well, let me tell you something. Just get in the Word of God because I guarantee you God will put a strategy together for you to face your giant and he will take your giant down. There is a strategy in the Word of God. God has designed every giant to be a stepping stone. Man, I got so excited when God showed me this, that every giant, every mountain that comes into our lives, yes, we look at it, and Lord, I don't want to go through this. I don't know how many times as I was going through what I was going through over the past 4 to 6 weeks, I don't know how many times I looked to God and I said, God, if there was another way, I wish we would come up with another way. But all of a sudden, every time I would say that, God would speak to me and say, this is the better way. This is the right way for you because through this, everything that you go through will build you up and you will see when this giant falls, you will be in a new place and you will be at a new level and you will have made it to where I want you to go. Everybody needs to understand and look at your giant as a stepping stone. Oh, yeah. I don't want to do this. God, I don't want to go through this. Lord, I don't know, Lord, what you're doing, and I don't know how this is going to turn out exactly, and I don't know what I'm going to be at the end of this, and I sure don't, I wish there was another way, but we need to understand this one thing. Know for sure that this giant is here for a purpose, and the purpose is that God will turn it from something bad into our good. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. It is a purpose and a stepping stone for us to grow. As I look at the design, God has a design in every giant. How many know that he's not going to allow a giant to come in your path, that he has not designed it a special way for you to grow and you to become everything that God wants you to be? How many know that when you face your giant, and you may not realize this, but when you finally get your strategy together and you finally do what God wants you to do and you finally come in order and the steps in where God wants you to be and you make it through and your giant goes down, how many know that God will begin to show you things that you didn't even know you needed and you needed that giant to get you to that place? That's how God works. That's what he does. It's difficult, and I'm going to share this with you out of the Word of God. We're going to share some things now out of the Word of God that he's laid on my heart that I believe will change us. I believe will help us. I'm going to ask Brother Brian, do you have those sheets? I want you to begin to pass those out as I share these next few comments with you before we get into the Word of God. If you were here in the first service and you have one of these, just pass on it. And I put these eight things together because these are the steps of faith that I believe will get you through any giant that you will face in your life. You know, old stories, as we hear them, let's just say Jonah and the well, let's say David and Goliath, and we can go on the Hebrew boys in the furnace, and we can go on down through time, and we can talk about the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea. And I don't know about you, but as a kid, I heard these stories in children's church, and I grew up with these stories. And Doc and I were talking, and we've preached these stories, and every time we preach them, it seems like God gives new revelation. But sometimes it's hard for us to take a story we've heard 1,000 times in our life and get new revelation on it. And today I want to give you new revelation from God on the story of David and Goliath. Let me share with you the words that God gave me when my giant showed up on August 3rd of 2020. When that giant showed up and that phone call was made to me and my wife, and the words were passed across the phone that this is what's going on and this is what's happening and this is what we need to do to come after it. When that giant stood up large and tall after that phone call, and there was a new fear that came into my life that I'd never dealt with before. A new fear that was at a level that I never dreamed that I would ever face fear at that level. This thing looked so huge and so humongous. This giant was so large, and I began to tremble a little bit inside my body and thinking, Lord, what is going on? What is happening? And I realized at that moment, man, this giant is humongous, and here now is facing one of the largest things, one of the most difficult things that I've ever faced in my entire life. Fear wanted to take over and begin to take over my thinking and take over my life and begin to take over. And a few moments as I stood there with my wife and I began to tremble within myself, a few moments passed by and these words came to me almost audible. These words were spoken to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what was said to me. You must approach this battle as David approached Goliath. You have to face this giant in front of you the same way that David faced Goliath. So I begin to think within myself of all the stories that I've been told, all the preaching that I've done of David and Goliath. I begin to think of how David fought Goliath. And the more I thought about it, the God began to speak to me and say, no, I need you to read it over and over again because I have revelation for you that you need to glean from this word. And I begin to read it over and over and over again. And God spoke to me and said, there are steps of faith that you can go through. And if you have a giant facing a giant today, there are steps of faith that you can go through and you will take your giant down. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. There are steps of faith. And I want to share with you those steps of faith that David took. Number one, David knew his God and he knew his enemy. Let me tell you something. One of the things that is amazing to me, and I heard this statistic last night, and it's a very accurate statistic, and I heard it last night. I shared it with Dina, and I said, can you imagine this? I said, in the Christian world that we live in today, in all the studies and all the surveys that have been done by the Ivy League schools and some of the schools that stay in touch with how the church is in America today, a couple of the things that they have found out, listen to this now, this will break your heart. 80% of Christians in America today spend less than 15 minutes a week reading their Bible. I want it to be quiet for a moment because I want that to sink in. The most powerful thing that we possess, the Word of God. The very thing that Jesus died on the cross to make sure that we have. We don't read it. And we wonder as we look across America today and we see the powerless church that we have out there today. And we look across America today and we see some of the saddest Christians, those that look like their mother-in-laws had just moved in with them this weekend. And they look across and we see the saddest people, Christians that should have smiles on their face, looking up and saying, no matter what battle I'm facing, I'm a child of God. I win this thing no matter even if I die. No, they don't have that because they don't have the Word of God inside of them. Let me tell you the one that really broke my heart and brought me to tears. 60% of the 80% don't even believe that it's the true, infallible Word of God. They believe that somewhere in this, man got involved and destroyed it. They believe that when it was interpreted, it was a man's Bible. Women were left out. And I'm thinking, boy, you really need to read Jesus and what he did. He hung around the women more than he hung around the men. He delivered the women faster and more accurately than anybody could even dream. And as I look at the Word of God, it breaks my heart when a Christian can say, oh, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus died for me, but I can't believe this. I'm not real sure about this because somebody got in here and wrote this in here, and I just don't know if I believe it or not. Well, let me tell you something about David. David knew the Word of God. David knew his God, and David knew his enemy. And if you are ever going to take down your giant, you have got to understand this one thing. You have to understand who your God is that you serve. You have to understand that you are a child of God and you are one who have been touched by God. And you have to understand that you are engrafted into the family of God. You are a son and a daughter of the King. You have to understand that going into your battle, that God is with you and God is your Father. And you know that he is bigger than any battle that you can face. And then you need to look at your enemy and say what David said. How dare you, you uncircumcised Philistine? How dare you come into my life against me, a child of God? You need to, you say, oh, that's bragging, Pastor. No, that's bragging. That's not bragging. That's claiming the promise of God out of the Word of God. I'm a child of God. Bring it on, devil, because guess what? You'll not win this battle because your big mouth is running and you can't back it up because I serve a God who can do all things and who will take care of me. So now my giant has no power. Did you hear what I said? My giant now has no power because I have rendered him powerless because I have told him who he was and I have told him who I am. David knew who he was. David knew who his God was. Oh, I love this because let me read this to you, and you can go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to jump around and read because the whole story there, I don't want to miss the parts that I need to share with you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26 says this, "Then David spoke to the men who stood by, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God. David stood up and said right away, who does this guy think he is? I don't care if he's 9 foot tall. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care how loud his mouth seems to be. I don't care that the army is standing behind him. It does not matter. I know who my God is, and I know who my enemy is, and he is already defeated. Man, when you start looking at your giant as already defeated, you say, how can you look at a giant and he's still there and you say he's defeated? Let me tell you something. You've got to stand in faith knowing that there will come a time that that giant will come down. Amen? He may still be standing there. He may still be running his mouth. But you have to, again, over and over again, I cannot tell you the number of times that thing, that giant that was in front of me continued to run his mouth and tell me what was going to happen and what he was going to do to me and what he was going to do to my family because of what he was going to do to me and what he was going to do to my church because of what he was going to do to me. And he ran his mouth over and over again, and the Holy Spirit of God would come over me and say, stand in faith. You know who you are. You know who I am. You know what I can do. And you know that every word out of his mouth is a lie, and he cannot back up what he's saying. Amen. So I rendered him powerless, although he was still there. Stay with me. Number two, David knew God would do his fighting for him. Let me read to you 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37. You can jump over there. And David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion, or again a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after it and smote it and delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Now, I know a lot of strong men, but to grab a lion or a bear by the beard and with your bare hands destroy that, it takes more than a human frame. It takes a power beyond any kind of power that we can think. Let me tell you something. I want to share this with you because it's important. David knew that his God would do the fighting for him because David knew that God was with him in every battle with every one of those lions and every one of those bears that came in and tried to take the sheep. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Right there, he's telling you that I know this battle's already won. God will deliver me out of this situation. God has already won the battle. I just need to keep walking through the steps that he has me in. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. David knew that the battle was already won. We need to begin to say in our minds, this battle is over. Yes, it may not look like it right now, but this battle has been won. How many know that your battle's been won because Jesus did it at Calvary? How many know that when he was at Calvary and he did the finished works of Jesus Christ and it was all over, he won every battle that we could ever face? There's enough power, there's enough authority inside of each one of us that we can get through every battle that we face, and every giant that we face will come down because Jesus has won the battle. He's already won it. He's already won it. David had been, number three says, David had been prepared for the battle with Goliath, and I just read it to you. David had already been there. Let me read 38 through 40. No, I'll read that next. Hang on to that. But I want you to understand that you have been through battles in your life. How many in here, and don't raise your hand, can say I've been through some of the storms of my life that I didn't think I was going to get through? How many are standing and sitting in this place today have been through some things that you just did not know if you were cut out to make it? How many times have you faced a battle in your life and you looked at it and you thought, this will be the one that will take me down? But guess what? Through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and the loving kindness of our Father and our Savior, you made it through that battle and you got through that. And this is the things that you need to hold on to. Those are the things that help us and remind us that we have been prepared for the battle that's in front of us. You have what it takes. God would not put that in front of you or allow that to be in front of you unless you have been prepared for it. Satan doesn't want you to know that you have what it takes. Satan doesn't want you to go back down memory lane. Satan doesn't want, I'm going to tell you where I was with this because this is so important for you to grab a hold of it. I didn't realize how prepared I was for this battle. Wow. Man, I begin to sit down and I begin to think, God, look at where you've been in my life. God, look at this place in my life was the most difficult time I can remember up to now. Lord, remember this time that you stepped in and it was you, God, you moved in a special way. Lord, you were there every step of the way in my life. Lord, some of the most difficult times that I went through in my life, I look back now and I see your hand was moving and your hand was on me. And now I can stand and say, I have been prepared for this battle and you were with me then. And guess what? You're going to be with me now. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. We've been prepared. You have what it takes. Number four, David used what he had, and he didn't try to use something else. I encourage you. I want you to grab a hold of this. Let me read verses 38 through 40. Here's what it says. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head and also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword on his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested this stuff. And David said to Saul, I cannot even walk with these, for I have not tested these things. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for him 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Let me tell you something. Don't try to fight your battle with Saul's armor on. Don't let someone tell you this is how you need to do this. Don't let someone tell you that you're going to have to do this and you're going to have to do this and you're going to have to find a psychiatrist or you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to get in this program and that program to make it. Let me tell you something. You are exactly what God wants, and you have been built and tapered and molded and shaped into everything that God wants. And I want you to understand this part. Be you and be who you are, knowing that God is with you. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to do it someone else's way. Do it the way God has used you to do it. Be who you are. Number 5, David had to raise his hands above his head to activate the sling. This is a revelation from God that he gave me that I will hold the rest of my life. If you will grab a hold of this revelation, when you are fighting your giant or when you're going through a storm, you will find out that this is the answer. This is the key to getting through your situation. God began to show me, and as I saw this part where David ran to the battle, he was so excited, and I saw David as he put the sling above his head. See, he couldn't keep the sling down here or over here. He had to get it above his head. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, revelation beyond revelation, grab a hold of this. If your hands are not in the air praising me and honoring me, even in the worst of your storm, I cannot move the way I need to move. How many know that he could not turn the sling and round the sling the way he needed to do it until his hands were above his head? God began to speak to me and said, you will not win your battle if you go into it in the mullet grubs and thinking you're not going to make it with a distorted view. I thank God every day for my wife because she is a woman of praise. She knows how to get up in the morning when she's hurting and can't hardly walk across the floor and turn on praise music. And before you know it, my house is full of praise and I feel the anointing of God in my house. And let me tell you something. When God spoke this revelation into me, I decided that I'm not going to spend any more time in the mullet grubs. I'm going to spend all my time with my hands in the air praising God because he is well able to take care of my battle. He's been with me all through my life and throughout my life. I can praise him even when things don't look good. I've got my hands in the air praising my Savior. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. You want to get through, then praise God. You want to press through and put your giant down on his knees, praise God. You may say, I don't know if I can praise him in my situation, Pastor, because this and this is going on. Let me tell you something. You still have a choice to raise your hands and praise God because he is God. As that revelation spoke to me, Number six really became alive to me because let me tell you something. Listen to me. As that sling was going around and going around and going around, God spoke to me and woke me up in the middle of the night last night. And as soon as I was awoken in my sleep, I saw David with the sling. And God spoke to me and said, let me remind you of this and make sure you remind the people that when you begin to praise God, what you do is you begin to put my spirit and my faith in motion. When he began to do this with that sling, he was putting spiritual momentum in place. That rock needed a certain amount of speed and momentum. Let me tell you something. There comes a time when God is going to bless you and you're going to be praising him and you're facing your giant and now all of a sudden your spiritual momentum is going. My spiritual momentum was going at one time and I felt the Holy Spirit begin to move and go towards and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my faith now was in motion. Now let me grab a hold of this. I want you to get a hold of this. Number six, David rounded up all the armies of the heavenly host by acting in faith. As he began to do this and he began to put the rock in motion, guess what began to happen? As he began to do that, God knew and saw the faith of David and he began to send all of heaven down. The armies of God came down to the earth. How many know God will send armies down for you? Oh, you need to grab a hold of this. David saw the armies of God begin to come down. And not only did he see the armies of the living God come down out of heaven, he saw the earthly army of God behind him also. See, you got to understand this part of it. As I was going through the storm that I was going through and the battle that I was going through, God reminded me, it's not just heavenly hosts that are going to be by your side and helping you. You have all kinds of earthly people who love you and care about you. People are praying all over the United States for you. How in the world can the devil stand against that? How many know the devil cannot stand against all those prayers that are going up and all the heavenly hosts that are coming down? And now all of a sudden you have all these heavenly angels and all these heavenly warriors down here fighting for you. And now you also have your friends, your family, your loved ones, your church family, and those all across the United States through Kairos Ministry that was praying for my situation. How in the world can we lose if God be for us? Who can be against us? How in the world can you lose a battle when God has sent heaven down and you have all your earthly loved ones with you praying? Let me tell you something. David knew and he saw it. It became real to him. Number 7, we're almost there, and I want you to grab a hold of this revelation. This is one that you need to grab a hold of. David had to release the rock. David had to release the rock in faith. And how many know when you release the rock in faith, it will not miss? Amen. Go with me as he has the momentum finally and he's running. And I can only imagine as he, it must have been a piece of art to watch David with a sling running to Goliath. I heard something the other day. I got so mad, and it was several days ago, and I still had a little pain. I wasn't getting up and down real good, but it made me so mad, I got up real quick and shut it off. And it just so happened somebody was preaching on Goliath. And I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this. Well, we know that science has proven this, that the sons of Enoch, they were giants and they had a problem in their brain. And the problem in their brain caused them to almost be blind. They could not see very well. My Bible tells me that he looked across and he saw David and he got mad. Amen? I got so mad when I saw that, I thought, you know, you just go right ahead and try to take all the victory and all the power of the living God out of the Word of God. You just keep on doing it. But I got news for you today. I know exactly what happened. That giant could see very well. He looked across and he saw what he saw. He didn't like it. He was upset. It embarrassed him that they'd send this little bitty. The Bible says he was a little ruddy, good-looking boy. Remind me of myself. How dare you send this little guy to me? I can't see him. I'm blind. But how did you send him to me? Come on, folks. That's why I got up and shut it off real quick. Just read the word. A man on TV preaching the gospel. If I could reach through the TV, I would have. 2 slaps across each cheek would have maybe got him to wake up. But as I stand and I look at this, it's so important for us to understand what a work of art. As David was running to the battle, and as he's running, he's getting the sling, the momentum that he needs to get. And he's running in faith, knowing that this is all over. I just need to let this thing go. And as he got close enough to where he knew it would hit the mark, he released the rock. And by faith, he knew that that rock would go right where it needed to go. And how many know that that rock did not miss? The Bible says that rock hit him right into his forehead and went into his forehead. And he dropped to the ground like a big bag of dirty clothes, and he fell to the ground. And the Bible says that it was over before it was over. And David walked up to him and said, look, you cannot defy the army of the living God. I have released the rock and it went to where it needed to go. And I want you to understand the revelation to this right now. Grab a hold of this. God had to tell me it's time for you to release the rock into your situation. And what he meant by that was that I, Tim Agee, needed to release Jesus on my situation. Amen. Release me. Let me go. Let go of this battle. Quit trying to fight it. Quit toiling over the night. Quit staying up at night worrying about what's going to happen. Let it go. Let me have it. Release the rock into the situation. And God said, if you will release me into your situation, I will find the mark and I will take your giant down. And how many know that the victory over Goliath was for the glory of God? How many know that our victories, when we take down those giants and they go down and we cut the head of those giants off, how many know those aren't victories for us? Those are victories that show the glory and the power of our living God. That gives us the testimonies to be able to walk out and say, let me tell you what my God did for me. He'll get the glory in every situation. Let me tell you something. David was never the same after that battle. Israel was never the same. Guess what? The enemy was never the same after that battle. And God spoke this into me the other day. David did not even break a sweat. Think about it. David did not even sweat. The Bible, now somebody said, well, he did run to the battle and he did sling the sling and he did cut his head off. Well, I got news for you. David was in really good shape. I'm pretty sure he didn't even break a sweat. Grab a hold of this revelation. When you go into your battle with your giant, you may, in the back of your mind, you may be thinking, this is going to be one of the biggest wrestling matches. This is going to be one of the most difficult times. This is going to be one that I just don't know if I'm going to have enough to get through it. This is going to be a wrestling match beyond any wrestling match that I've ever faced. But if you release the rock into your situation and allow God to have it and do what needs to be done, you may come through your giant and your giant may be taken down and you may not even have to break a sweat. Somebody asked me, well, did you break a sweat, Pastor, in your battle? I'll just be honest with you. I don't know. All I know is God was with me every step of the way. All I know is this revelation came alive to me and the giant came down. And I believe this with all my heart, that the scripture has a strategy, and the strategy is faith will work if you put it into action. Faith will do what it says it will do if you put it into action. When you release the rock or when you release Jesus into your situation, he will not miss. He will not miss. Today I stand before you, yes, two services. I feel a little bit tired, but that's normal. And right now I feel like I could run 2 miles. And Dina's sitting back there going, no. And you say, well, you're bragging because you think you're so healthy. No. No, I'm bragging on my Savior, Jesus Christ. That's right. I'm bragging on him and on what he does and on how he does things. If we trust him, if we have faith in him, and if we stand before our giant and we don't size him up in any other way than the way David sized him up, how dare you? How dare you defy God? How dare you do that? And the giant will come down. If you're here today and you're facing a giant, it will come down. It will come down.
Thank you for watching. Please tune in every Sunday for Sanctuary TV at 10 or 11:30 in the morning via Facebook Live. Remember, at the Sanctuary, you have a safe place.